We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From the Mobile Pod World headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider from Learfield IMG College.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. Adam, I have one question for you. This isn't even a five-second challenge, Adam. This is a two-second challenge. Do you know what today is?
It's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Weekend. Partying. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah, that's right. It's Freak Day, baby. Remember?
I forgot about that.
Yeah, thanks for having knowledge of what happened in the past, Adam.
Wow. There's been a lot of sneakily good things that have happened on the pod. Like, you might think it was all worthless and not use in remembering, but in reality,
yeah,
some good facts.
I'm not going to start my ocean voyage today. That's bad luck.
Yeah, that's right.
We know this.
Yeah.
Man, we've got a good show coming up. Glad you're with us again. And, Adam, let me just say that, like the Tar Heels, the Tar Heel football team, which plays Appalachian State tomorrow at 3:30 in Keenan Stadium, I'm so excited about the present of the pod. Today, we got a great interview with Miles Wolfuck. He taught us how to say his name the right way.
Yeah, you nailed that.
I thought I did okay. And so excited about the present, and I'm excited about the future, Adam, because we got some good stuff coming up in the coming weeks, too.
We've brought in some five-star recruits.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And they're learning under our current interviewees.
Yep.
But when we're ready to unleash them,
yep,
watch out.
I think you're really going to enjoy it. You know, after we spoke to Miles for this show, I remembered something that Jay Bateman, Carolina's defense coordinator, said when talking about the safeties, Miles Dorn and Miles Wolfuck. He said, I think those guys are, quote, elite smart. And we've spoken to them both here over the last couple weeks, and I think it comes out in those conversations. These are just really intelligent, well-thought guys about football and about other things. And really enjoyed speaking to Miles Dorn a couple weeks ago, and I think people are going to really enjoy this conversation with Miles Wolfuck today.
As if you couldn't like Miles Wolfuck more than when he made two interceptions against South Carolina. Wait until you hear some of the things he has to say.
Yeah, so that's coming up in just a little bit. I think you will enjoy it. We'll talk about Carolina App State here in just a second. Then later on, I put Adam through the five-second challenge. Really good one today. Feel really good about the research I put in for this one today.
Do you feel good about the question or about my chances of answering it?
Both. I think this is one you will do reasonably well on.
Okay.
This one.
Okay.
Adam, before we get to any of that, I'm going for an early UNC Healthcare Champions Watch. Brought to you by UNC Healthcare. The team at UNC Healthcare is dedicated to caring for champions of all kinds, you and your family included. You can see their lineup at unchealthcare.org/sports. unchealthcare.org/sports. This is where Adam tells us a team around Tar Heel Athletics outside of basketball and football that we need to have our eye on this weekend. Adam, which champions are you watching this weekend?
Turn your eyes to field hockey.
Gaze to the west in field hockey.
Tonight, field hockey faces off with Louisville at 5 p.m. Louisville's eighth in the country. They're 5-0. It's a battle of unbeatens. As we know, Tar Heels number one.
Yep.
So number one against number eight. It's on ACC Network Extra, so you might be able to stream it, or you might not. You won't really know until you open up your computer, so good luck to everyone. But we can all agree that come 7 o'clock, we hope the Tar Heels have emerged with a victory.
We'll be keeping our eyes on Karen Shelton Stadium.
They are the actual current champions.
Yeah, they are. I saw Karen Shelton Stadium abbreviated as KSS on something earlier.
I don't know if that's going to catch on.
Hey, maybe. You know what will catch on, Adam? The fever of this Tar Heel football season, and they are hosting Appalachian State coming up this Saturday, 3:30. Radio-wise, we'll be on at 2:30. And this is the first of three games between these two teams. Carolina will go to Boone in 2022, and then Appalachian State's coming back to Chapel Hill in 2023. So it was a two-for-one contract that Carolina signed with the Mountaineers. And I want to start there, Adam, because the first time these two teams have played since 1940. It's a very difficult situation for the Tar Heels to be in. Having said that, the Tar Heels signed the contract too. This is not like East Carolina when the Heels were forced to play them by the North Carolina legislature. Carolina signed this contract and wanted to play this series. And I'm going to tell the reasons why I think that happened, and then I'm going to say something else about it. So I always go back to this example when discussing this topic. Carolina hosted San Diego State in Keenan in 2014, and they had to pay San Diego State $950,000 to make the trip, just to play the game. And so in college athletics, where the bottom line is becoming more, it's never not been important, but it's just becoming more and more important, and you're stretched with the amount of sports Carolina has, and just all the things, and running a college athletic department is a much bigger business now than it used to be. $950,000, a big deal. And so if you can sign a contract to play a team that is in a reasonable geographic area, and you can get a two-for-one, and you're not paying them to come here and play, then I totally understand the thinking behind doing that. That's why Carolina has, you know, went to Old Dominion. They have, I think, a two-for-one with Charlotte in the coming years. So there have been some more of these type of games, and you will continue to see those over the next, I'll pick a number, I don't know for sure, 5 to 7 years with Carolina football, because it's a strategy that Bubba Cunningham has used to schedule, and I understand it. Now, from the pure football side of things, I do think it puts the Tar Heels in a really big jam. And I know it's cliche to say, but if you lose the game, it's a much bigger loss than if you win the game. And if you win the game by a little, it's why'd you only win by a little? If you win by 50, why'd you beat them up so bad? It's like there's very few scenarios here that Carolina leaves this weekend with positive PR. But all they're worried about, as they should be, is winning the game. And so that's not going to be easy to do either, because Appalachian State's very good.
It really is a tricky spot. And I don't think I fully appreciated what a big deal it was to Appalachian until this week, and started reading some of the articles, and some folks have gone up to Boone to write about the scene there and the excitement level. And they put some extra student tickets on sale for App on Wednesday, I think, and the line was going down the street because everybody's all excited about it. And they say Boone's going to basically be empty on Saturday because everyone will come to the game. I think there'll be a ton of App fans in Keenan Stadium.
There will be more App fans than a traditional road crowd, for sure.
I don't fully know, but in my mind, I have it pictured as an ECU crowd when ECU is good. That level of opposing interest. The listener Justin sent us a tweet from the Yosef Club, which I think is like their Rams club.
Which has since been deleted, by the way.
Well, I think because they got the date wrong. And so they tweeted out.
If you're going to throw out a tweet talking smack about winning the game, at least get the date right.
They tweeted out, this is our state, and the A is the Appalachian A. As we know, that motto has worked great for other schools that have used it. And then they sort of crossed out the interlocking NC. But then it says that I can watch this game on Saturday, September 17th at 3:30. So I don't know what year that is, but I don't think it's this year. But it's just, it's a bigger deal than you know it is if you don't know any App fans, which I don't, but I know a lot of people do, and maybe they have a better sense of it than we do, but it's a bigger deal than I had realized.
Yeah. The Rams Club isn't going to send out a tweet that says, this is our state with the A logo crossed out. There aren't going to be any billboards put up if the Tar Heels win this game. It's just going to be they win the game, and then they got Clemson coming next week. So it is, it's going to be an emotionally charged Keenan Stadium. And I think, too, the Sun Belt Conference very helpfully allowed Appalachian to not play last weekend.
Which I'm sure they asked for.
Of course they did. It's the third straight opponent that has had a longer time to prepare for the Tar Heels than the Tar Heels had to prepare for them. Miami had a week off. App has a week off. Wake had, while it was just one day, they had a normal full week. Carolina was one day less. So I also, you know, Appalachian has beaten up on East Tennessee State, who is an FCS team. And they had a closer than I think they expected game against Charlotte. 56-41 was the final. Appalachian scored twice right before halftime to take the lead on a blocked punt for a touchdown and then a fumble deep in their own territory that I believe they scored on the next play, something like that. And then was not really challenged. Charlotte got within a score once or twice in the second half, but it was never a huge challenge. So my point to all that is, App State hadn't opened up the playbook yet to win the two games that it's played. Elijah Drinkwitz is their head coach. He was the old NC State offensive coordinator. He does not like the Tar Heels, not just from his time at NC State. I've heard from just other things away from the field. He has just somebody who doesn't care for Carolina. And so he'll be fired up. Their team will be fired up. Their fans will be fired up. And they will be fresh and ready to go. And so that goes back to what Mac Brown has been talking about a lot this week, and that is the passion and the energy to be ready to play from the start. And Adam, I thought this was really interesting. I hope if you got a chance to listen to Coach Brown talk about this on his radio show, I don't think we've talked about it though, where he said the Wake game, it wasn't like Carolina wasn't trying hard or trying to do the right things, but that the passion and energy wasn't there. And so I asked him, well, what's the difference between those two things? And he said, it's just that level of, hey, you're the one who's creating the contact on the block, on the O-line, for example, instead of you're catching the guy who's coming at you. Or you're the one in the defensive backfield who gets a big hit as opposed to kind of slowing up when you're tackling somebody or whatever. And so that passion and energy is going to have to be there for the Tar Heels this game because it will be there for Appalachian. And Mac Brown's made that easily obvious to his team. I do think, and we talked to Miles about this in just a minute, Miles Wolfolk, I think in fan mind or non-player mind, you go, well, yeah, that should be easy to do every single week. I don't think it is easy to do every single week, just naturally. You're not going to be at 100 every single week. I think the key and part of becoming a winning team is being able to manage that. So you're not like the Tar Heels were 100 and 100 and then 50 against Wake Forest to start off. Well, how do you get that to be maybe 100 and then 95 and then 95 or whatever it is so that you maybe not – be your total best, but the drop-off isn't as far as it was against Wake Forest.
Yeah, and I think Heller O'Reilly had some interesting thoughts on that also, just about how you do that even when you know you're probably better than the opponent.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
And none of this is to say, well, first of all, Appalachian is going to be more emotionally invested in this game than Carolina. There's nothing Carolina can do to reach the level that Appalachian will be at emotionally. They will be at 100. But just because you're not at 100 doesn't mean you have to be at 50.
Right.
You could be at 95. And it's not to say that Carolina is somehow in this superior place to everyone else, because I think the next weekend, Carolina will probably be more invested in that game than Clemson will.
Right.
Because Clemson's got something you want, and Carolina's got something that Appalachian wants. And so, but even though you're not as emotionally invested, and maybe it's not as important to you emotionally, it is important to the trajectory of the season. Because I think you win this game and you're 3-1, you feel great about the first third of the year.
Yes.
If by some chance you lose to Appalachian and you're 2-2, well, then what did you really accomplish? You're mostly right where everybody thought you might be. And then you got Clemson coming. So that doesn't feel quite as good. So even though you can recognize, all right, some of these Appalachian players are going to be miffed that they weren't recruited by the Tar Heels or whatever, this is still a very important game for North Carolina that they need to win. And you can't just pat Appalachian on the head and go, oh, you guys are good at football. You got to go out there and you got to beat them. And it felt like Carolina wanted to pat Wake Forest on the head for maybe a quarter or so. You don't have the luxury of that quarter, because if you give them even a little bit of confidence, they're going to say, oh, well, we've done this before in other places. We've won at Michigan. We almost beat Tennessee. We almost beat Penn State. This is no different than that. You don't want to give them any confidence at all from the very start.
Yeah, App has not beaten a Power 5 team since that win over Michigan. I think it's 0-12. But the last four, three of those have been really, really close. An overtime loss that you referenced to Penn State last year, an overtime loss to Tennessee a couple seasons ago, a one-point loss to Wake Forest a season or two ago. So they've been right there. So don't let that 0-12 since Michigan fool you. And this is a team that's used to winning. You know, they have 41 wins over the last 4 years and a lot of players back. They had 17 starters back from last year's team. Now, they do have a new coach, and you never know with those transitions, and Scott Satterfield appears to be a very good coach, what he did at App and now what he's trying to do at Louisville. They've got good players. You know, Darrington Evans is their running back. He's coming in this week. He's number two in the country in rushing yards per game. He has 333 yards in two games rushing the football. They're getting their best wide receiver back, Corey Sutton, who's been suspended the first two games for an off-the-field incident in the summer. He's back. He had more than 700 yards receiving last year, 10 touchdowns. So this is a talented team that is used to winning, that is 2-0, and that will come in here ready to play. Their defense last year was a top 10 or 15 unit nationally. I don't know quite what to think of it just yet. They gave up a lot to Charlotte. Now, Charlotte is kind of plucky, offensive, crazy team and can really move the ball. So I'll be interested to see how that plays out. Tar Heels are a little bit beat up front on that offensive line. How that group continues to grow is important. So this is going to be a challenge. I mean, Carolina can lose this game. If the Tar Heels don't play close to their potential, they can lose this game. And so they need to be ready.
In addition to being talented, the running back's averaging 10.1 yards a carry.
Yeah.
Per carry, he gets a first down. Appalachian also hasn't had to show anything the first 2 weeks.
Right.
And Jay Bateman said that the Tar Heels have had to watch some NC State film to get an idea for what Appalachian probably wants to do, because they haven't had to do it their first 2 weeks. They didn't have to put anything on film. They've got stuff they haven't done yet that they think is going to work really well. Carolina's had to show everything they got.
Yeah.
Because it's gone down to the last play. You're not holding anything back going, well, let's keep this in our pocket for Appalachian. You've seen it all. So Appalachian, during their extra week they had to plan, they got a pretty good read on the Tar Heels. I'm not sure Carolina has the same level of information about Appalachian.
Adam, anything else about this game before we get to our interview with Miles Wolfolk?
No. Should be a good crowd. Sold out.
It is going to be a good crowd. Good crowd for this one. Clemson sold out. Students picked up their tickets in under half an hour, just like they did for the App State game. So it's going to be rowdy these next couple weeks in Keenan Stadium. Looking forward to it. Should be fun.
Be there early, because that was all. That was a big part of the Miami game, was that people were there early.
I agree. I think, and you'll hear Miles Wolfolk talk about that in just a second, that was impactful. And so
– to the players.
Yes.
So which matters.
Understand that you – that is not just, oh, Mac Brown's just saying that, so we'll be in our seat. It matters in what happens on the field. Okay, before we get to our conversation with Miles Wolfolk, coming up, 15th annual Roy Williams Fast Break Against Cancer. It is a week from today in the Smith Center. It events the event benefits the UNC Lineberger Comprehensive Cancer Center. There's an online auction. If you can't make it to the breakfast, there are items up for bid, including a Tar Heel Sports Network experience where you get to sit right behind Eric. Can't see what's happening, but you get to sit right behind us. You get headsets. You get to hear all our cross chatter during the commercials. We have a good time with that. So that's up for auction. And a lot of other things as well. And that's at unclineberger.org/fastbreak. unclineberger.org/fastbreak. Or the number 919-966-5905. 919-966-5905. All right. After a quick word from Mack Weldon, fine sponsor here on the pod.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We'll get to our conversation with Tar Heel DB Miles Wolfolk.
All right, continuing our tradition of going straight to the source, we have today not just Carolina junior safety Miles Wolfolk, we have the first ever recipient of the turnover belt.
First ever.
Which we discussed quite a bit, and we're thinking about trying to make a pod belt, but we wanted to find out the pluses and minuses. So, Miles, thanks so much for giving us a few minutes.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
How does that work? Do you get to keep it the whole week? Did you wear it to class?
So, technically, we haven't come up with the official rules yet.
Oh, good. So, you should make the rules.
I did keep it that night. I thought about keeping it the next day, but I ended up turning it in. I'm trying to get the rule to be whoever, if we get one that week, the one person can keep it all week.
Yeah.
And then bring it back before game day. If we get more than one, I don't know how we're going to do that. So I'm trying to negotiate rules here.
I can just imagine Miles like on the bus back from Charlotte, feeling good. Everybody's excited. He just got the bell like wrapped around the waist.
Oh, yeah. It was laying right there. Right there.
Miles, tell us a little bit about just the start of the season from your perspective, how you feel like the first couple of weeks have gone, and what's shaking with you and the team.
I feel like the first few weeks have gone really well. I mean, we're sitting at 2-1 right now. Obviously, a little disappointed in the last loss, but it's a new week now. We can build from that. So I feel like this season is going good. I mean, the atmosphere that Tar Heels are bringing back to this Keenan Memorial is amazing. A big shout-out to Tar Heel Nation right there, because they came off the Miami game, and it was amazing for us, and we need that all season. So big shout-out to Tar Heel Nation for coming out, and I think the season's off to a good start.
What is that like when you're in a stadium like that and it's jam-packed and it's loud and it's energetic and it's nighttime? Just what was going through you, your body, when that was happening?
Me personally, it's fun. I like seeing stuff like that. I mean, people in the crowd going crazy, just screaming, yelling. It's very fun, especially when you're – the one they're screaming and yelling for. So
that's a little more fun.
Yeah, I definitely say it was fun.
Do you hear like individual voices? Do you see individual faces when you're out there, or is it just a big mass?
At times you can see individuals, but I try to focus on the field, because usually when the play is going, when the game is going, you're not looking in the stands. You see stuff around you, you hear stuff around you, but you're locked in on your job on the field. But, you know, on the sideline, you might look up and see a face or two, but most of the time you're locked in on the field and what's going on and what needs to be done.
Miles, Coach Brown has mentioned a couple times since that Wake Forest game, he's used the words passion and energy. And he said, God, he just didn't feel like the team had the passion and the energy. He said everybody was playing hard but didn't have the passion and the energy. What in your mind is the difference between playing hard, if that makes sense, and then the having that passion and energy to have that extra step?
That passion and energy is what's gonna separate good plays from great plays, what's going to separate average plays from good plays. That passion is energy is about how much you care about your team, how much you care about everything on the field that's happening at that moment. And I think we didn't have that. We didn't have enough of that going into the Wake Forest game coming off. I mean, obviously we lost that game, and I think that was the big point. Coach Brown obviously addressed it already, but it was something we should have addressed earlier and something we should have came back in the first half that we didn't do in the first half. But second half, we came out. I think we found that energy that we needed, but at that point it was too late. So just making sure from here on out that we have that every day in practice, every game, every second.
How hard is that to get every single week? I think for the season opener, I can imagine that's easier to do. When you have a big night game against a great opponent here in Keenan, that's easier to do. How hard is that to do every single week?
I say it's hard for any football player. You know, every it's hard just getting up every day, going to practice every day. I mean,
sure,
football is a hard sport, but I think we're all built for it, and I think we love the game so much that it makes it a lot easier to do. I wouldn't say it's just something anybody can do, because anybody can't do it. But this team, we love each other so much, and we go out there and we're gonna fight for each other, and I think it's gonna be a lot easier for us this year.
You know a million times more about football than we do. So Friday night in Winston-Salem, Carolina fans are sitting in the stands and they're thinking, well, something's just missing here. You knew that before any of them did. How difficult is it? You don't just push a button and say, okay, now the real guys are back. When you realize something's missing, how do you get it back before it's too late?
Excuse me. I'd say just as soon as we notice it, address it. I would say we noticed it and maybe it was noticed and didn't get addressed immediately. And that was something that probably should have happened on the sideline. Probably we should all just got together and said we're going to pick the energy back up. Because I think we came out high energy. I think we came out ready to play, but it got flat somewhere in that first quarter, end of the first quarter, second quarter. But just picking each other up on the sideline, as soon as we notice it, just go ahead and address it right there that this isn't it. This isn't the energy we need. We need to turn it up a notch. And that's what we did at halftime. And as you saw, we came out at halftime, and I think we came out with a lot more energy than we had in the first half. So just addressing it earlier is going to help us out. So next time, let's not even get flat. So I'm addressing that before the game even starts. Just making sure we come out every play, every snap with that passion and energy that we need, that we have for each other, just to show it on the field.
Are you somebody that feels comfortable doing that? I mean, these are your peers, and some people aren't comfortable saying, "Hey guys, you got to do a little better." Does that come naturally to you?
That does come naturally to me, especially just knowing how much I love my brothers. Every one of my teammates, I love all my teammates, because we've all been through the same things. We've all gone through a lot. We all fight together. We've worked out together. We've gone to class together. Everything you can name, we've done it together. And I love all my teammates. So me having that love for them, I feel like I have a right to be able to say, hey, come on, pick it up. This isn't what we need. This is below our standard. You understand? So I feel like me personally, it's kind of easy.
It's not personal. It's just about what's happening on the field.
Yeah, it's never, hey, you need to get it up. It's no, we. It's always we, because we are a team. And at the end of the day, we lost to Wake Forest. We beat Miami. We beat South Carolina. It's always we. So we have to come together and make sure that it's not an issue.
So the last couple years, last season in particular, fourth quarter was a big problem for this team. Just so many close games that didn't go the way you guys wanted. This year, every single game has come down to the last play. You guys have had a chance to win. You have been the better team in the fourth quarter. Even in the Wake Forest game, you were the better team in the fourth quarter. Why has this team been able to improve in that area, in your opinion?
I think Coach Brown came in, and he recognized that early. When I talk about addressing things early, that was one thing Coach Brown talked about, was how we didn't finish in the fourth. Because if you look at last year's team, a lot of the games we had won in the fourth. We were winning going into the fourth quarter. if not winning, we ended up being in the lead in the fourth, and we didn't finish to win the game. And that's what separated last year. He wanted to make sure this year that we came in and fourth quarter was our biggest quarter. We need to have the most energy in the fourth. And if we do that, we're going to be able to beat a lot of teams. But we have to do it all game. We can't just do it in the fourth. And that's what we have to do as a team this year.
I know it was a couple games ago, and I know you guys are moving forward, but can you describe just the emotional release in that locker room after the South Carolina game? It just seemed it felt like it was more than just one win, if that makes sense.
Definitely. I'd say, like, especially for the older guys, we've been through so much, and just a lot of, like, me, I hadn't won my first game of the season here since I got here. So a lot of us were in that situation where this is the first time we won our first game. So just overjoyed. It was so much, like, passion. Like, we talked about passion earlier. Mm-hmm. It was so much passion. Just if you were there, you saw it. Like, everybody just coming together and just, like, feeling like, yes, this is what it needs to be like, and this is how we're going to do it.
On the field, who do you work with the most? Is it you and Miles Dorn working the most? Or are you working with the corner on your side the most? Who are you communicating with the most when you're out on the field?
I would say I try to communicate with everybody, honestly, because we all have to be on the same page. So I'm trying to yell at everybody I see. But I'd say me and Miles communicate a good amount because we have to make sure we're on the same page. But other than that, I would say I communicate to my corners the most.
The life of a defensive back is so interesting to me because you guys are just out there. And a lot of times when people notice you, it might be because something went bad.
Yeah, that's the crazy part. Actually, me and my friend was just talking about that. Sometimes, like, it's not even the defensive back's fault that's chasing the play. But on TV, everybody's going to blame that guy because he's the one chasing. But it's not – It's a job that we signed up for. We know what it is. You're out there on an island, and you got to control your island. So it's fun.
What have you learned about, let's say you are the guy who got beat, because it happens to everybody.
It does.
What have you learned about how to move on to whatever is next? Because sometimes you can get beat once, and you're still thinking about you get beat two more times. How do you learn how to do that?
I would say I think it comes with experience. Often if you see, like, a younger guy, he might get down on himself longer than an older guy. I would say it comes with experience. It's just knowing how to handle yourself. Like, personally, if you know you gave this up, all right, how do I snap out of it? Because sometimes if you're trying to snap out of it too much, you end up doing something that's not your job and get beat on something else. So it's just about how you handle it. I would say at DB we try to teach having a short-term memory. I mean, that's the only way you can play defensive back, because these guys are on scholarship too. These wide receivers are here because they're good players as well. So they're going to make a catch or two, you know. Nobody wants it, but it's going to happen. They're getting scholarships as well. So just about having that short-term memory and getting the play over with before and moving on to the next, because at the end of the day, they're moving on to the next play. So that's how you got to handle it.
Who's the biggest talker you go against, either in practice or that you remember from a game, that you're like, this guy does not ever shut up?
Biggest talker. Oh, man, that's hard to say. I think my redshirt sophomore year, we played NC State at NC State. Jalen Samuel. He talked the whole game. I did not like that guy. I'm not going to lie. I did not like that guy, but he talked the whole game. So I would say he was the biggest talker.
How about on this team? Who's somebody who's chatty on the Tar Heels?
Tar Heel offense. because we go against each other so much, I think it brings out of a lot of them. But I would definitely say Daz Newsome. Definitely Daz Newsome.
Look, they all do a little bit, but especially
it's there. Definitely Daz Newsome. Where he's from, 757, they take pride in just being the best. And he's always going to talk because he wants to be the best. That's the competitor in him. And he's an amazing player. And it just brings out the competition in him. And that makes him thrive. Like, he thrives in competition. He thrives when somebody challenges him. So I think him talking is a big personal thing because, man, that boy can talk.
I'd be interested in your perspective of what Chaz has done, going from quarterback to linebacker to starting at linebacker and playing a large majority of the snaps. Just be interested in somebody else's on the defense's side of things, your view of what he's been able to do.
Well, Chaz, what Chaz just did is nothing short of amazing. I'm not going to lie, because, one, moving a position is hard. There are people who go from quarterback to receiver, people who go from receiver to DB, but I'd say quarterback to linebacker is probably one of the biggest switches you can have.
Yeah.
You go from not being touched at practice ever to being one of the most physical guys at practice ever. And Chaz has done a great job, because he came in ready to work. He accepted his position when he decided to switch, and he said, I'm going to work. And that's what he's done, and it's paid off so much for him. I'm really happy for him. Me and Patrice were talking about that today. Me and Patrice Renee, we're talking about that today. We're so proud of him, because he worked so hard for this, and he's thriving really well, and we all see he's really good at it, and we're just so happy for him.
Were you skeptical as a defensive guy? Like,
oh, of course.
This quarterback's going to go play linebacker?
Of course. I told him in the spring, before spring ball actually started, I used to joke with him. I said, man, you're not going to hit nobody, man. I don't know about you. You're not going to hit. I don't know what you're going to do, but he's definitely going to hit somebody. He's a big dude, and playing with him is not something you want to do, but I'm very happy for him, really.
All right, you've got on three bracelets. One of them is just a Carolina football one. What are the other two?
Well, one I recently just got. A friend told me about it. It says humble over hype. I try to thrive off being humble. Like, that's how I came up. My father taught me it's the best thing you can do is be humble about every situation and give praise. I'm a Christian. I believe in God, and I always give praise to God for everything that's coming to my life. And that's one thing I've been brought up on, is being very humble. So you'll never catch me bragging about anything. You'll never catch me boasting or going on showing off, this is what I did. That's not how I am. So when I saw this bracelet, it kind of made me, like, I had to buy it, actually, because it just speaks on, like, who I am as a person. And the other one is the dog culture. Where I'm from, Largo, Maryland, one of my high school coaches, Coach Mike Hill, played at Duquesne. He's a great safety, great player. And he had the chance to go to the league, but he was diagnosed with cancer. And so if you see it, has the cancer ribbon on it.
Oh, yeah.
And he fought through it, and he's beat cancer. And he just talks about how he was a dog, and that's what he was, because he's a competitor. Like, being a dog is a mentality. Being a dog is a lifestyle. And he created this because he realized that's what he was, and he knows there's other people out there who feel the same way. So this is a little personal apparel that he has. He has wristbands, shirts. I got a few of his shirts because, one, that's my guy. Mike Hill is my guy. And two, it also speaks to who I am. I feel like I'm a dog. I feel like that mentality is something that you have to have as a competitor, and I'm a dog. I ain't gonna lie.
If like, Adam is not a dog, okay? So
we don't know that for sure. We don't know that. If I get a shirt and a bracelet, I'm halfway it's, there to no, be a dog.
You're halfway there. You're halfway there.
So it's that other half I'm worried about.
In all seriousness, is it a mindset? I mean, like, let's say, I mean, everybody, a competitor, thinks that they are, but what separates somebody who truly is from someone who isn't, in your opinion?
I feel like what separates the people who talk about it versus the
who
people
who just wear the shirt,
yeah, like,
versus the ones who go do it.
I feel like the guys who go do it aren't going to talk as much. There are some who talk. They'll tell you what they'll do and go do it. But at the end of the day, football is a sport that you got to show me. You can't tell me. Booger talked about that when he came to see us. It's a show me sport. You can't talk about this. When we line up on them lines, you got to show me what you can do. So having that mentality is something you have to have, but if you go out there and don't show it, no one's going to believe you. So I feel like the other part is just going out there and showing it.
In 2019, if you play DB and you're anywhere near the vicinity of an incomplete pass, you have to immediately do the incomplete
sign.
You
have to.
You got to do the Have you ever done the incomplete sign? Because you're certain it was incomplete, and then you turn around and realize, oh, he caught that.
Have I? I don't think I do it until I know it's done. Because
you got to see ball on ground.
I've seen it happen before, and I don't want to be the person that happens too. So I always wait for the refs. I see them. Okay, yeah, we can do it.
I'm in the clear.
I got to do it.
You mentioned Booger McFarland came and spoke to the team. A lot of former Tar Heels who have gone on to different levels of or different areas of success in business and different things have come back over the last couple of months. I'd just be interested in your thoughts on those talks and if one of them in particular spoke to you or was particularly impactful.
We had a few. We had a lot of people come back and speak to us recently, and it's all because of love for Mac Brown. He's a great person, and we talked about that earlier before. But we love that guy, and I see other people love him just as much as we do. And so we've been blessed to have a lot of people come back and just speak to us about things we need to hear. Just not even all football things, just life things. And how to approach different situations, different circumstances, and just how to approach life. I would say, I don't know who was the best, but we've had a lot because we've had a lot of great speeches, great speakers come to talk to us. I'm drawing a blank on his name. He was a sergeant who came to talk to us from the Army. Mm-hmm. I'm drawing a blank on his name though, but he was so real, and his speech stuck with me a lot because he talked about being about it, and he talked about things that I relate to about loving and being passionate about things you do. And I don't want to do anything I'm not passionate about. And he just spoke to us in so many ways. I actually have the notes, but I have a bad memory. I can't. Yeah. I have the notes in my house, though, but he had a great speech, and I was very happy he came.
We ask guys this sometimes. So college football team, you put 85 guys in the locker room. They're from all over the country, all different parts of life, all different everything. Who's somebody who you feel like if you didn't play football for North Carolina, you would have never met this guy because y'all are just so different that your paths would have never crossed otherwise?
Wow, that's a good question.
Yeah, Adam.
That's mine for September.
You're a dog. You're a question-asking dog, Adam. That's what you are.
You are a question-asking dog. Somebody on my team. Okay, I'll give you this. I can't give you anybody right now. It's too many to think of right now. But I know for sure my sophomore year, Tom Sheldon, the Australian punter. He's a character, and he's hilarious. Like, if you were around him, oh, my God, he was so funny. But I would say I would have never crossed paths with him if it wasn't for football. One, he's from Australia. He came all the way over here. He came all the way to North Carolina to play football. And two, I don't think he wasn't doing much before he came. He wasn't doing too much before he came to play football. So I know I wouldn't have seen him out anywhere.
Well, he was like my age. Yeah, so he had already lived a full life.
He could have been like your older uncle or
something. I mean, if I saw him, I'd have thought he was a grown man, you know. Definitely. I don't know.
Well, now, we had him on the podcast, so here's my question for you. Mm-hmm. If he said the exact same things that he said, but he didn't have an Australian accent, would he still be funny?
Yes.
You think so?
I think so.
Just the accent just added to it.
Yeah. The accent makes it a lot more funny, but Tom is hilarious. Oh, I would tell you a story, but it's too personal. Now, Tom is hilarious.
Is it all the foreign punters are funny? Like, is Ben Kiernan funny?
Ben is also kind of funny. I haven't talked to him as much because he's a younger guy, but me and him had a joke when I was doing the punt team stuff, and it was an insider. I got to keep it inside, but he's funny too. I say, honestly, our whole bomb squad, they are a funny group of people because they have so much time on their hands to just think about stuff. They are a funny group of people. I love the bomb squad.
Miles, what do you like to do when you're not playing football?
Oof. Eat, sleep.
Any chance you get,
eat,
right?
Eat and sleep. Nah, I'm playing. I go out with some friends. I play cards a lot. I watch football. And I like movies.
Really?
I like movies. Like, in the summertime, springtime, when we have a lot more time, I go to the movie theater. I'll go by myself. I like movies. So I watch a lot of movies on my own. And other than that, I don't really do too much. You got to – oh, we bowl.
Oh.
Me and my boys bowl.
What's your best score?
Oh,
no, come on now.
I'm not a good bowler. it's for fun.
I can bowl. I bowled this summer with my kids, so we had the little we had like the bumpers up.
That doesn't count.
And
that,
I didn't even break triple digits, dude. Yeah, bumpers up.
That's horrible. I think my best score over the summer was, I think it was 136.
That's not, I'm telling
something
you.
Something like that.
That's no bumpers, though, gents.
That's yeah. no bumpers.
Miles
yeah.
Davis bumpers.
No bumper. And I'm no pro. But, you know, I was working at it. I got a lot better over the summer. So, who
I'm
knows?
A bumper bowling dog, Adam. That's what I am.
Are you on the Jake Lawler level with movies?
No.
No. You just like going because it's fun.
Jake
you don't
Lawler
want to analyze.
Is different. Me and Jake talk about movies a lot, though. Me and him were actually in a performance class together. So in that class, we were trying to work on like plays and stuff. And, you know, he writes, and I was one of his actors twice actually in that class. So working with Jake is fun. He's a cool dude. And he got a lot going on in his mind. And he's very funny and he's cool to work with as a writer. I like it.
All right, now Adam and I, every now and then, we review movies here on the podcast, and okay. We've got bye week coming up. It's a prime movie reviewing time. Give us some suggestions of some movies that could fall into our review here coming up.
No movies or
any just one. Movies you like, anything.
Especially if there's like an old school one that you really like that you think is essential for everyone to see.
Oh man, there's a few old school ones. I like some old school movies. Belly.
Oh, I've never heard of Belly.
If you watch Belly, that's a good movie. That's a good movie. Have you heard of Juice?
Yeah, no yeah. Juice. Yes,
Juice.
We've gotten that suggestion
Juice
before, haven't we?
Yeah. Juice is a great movie. Old school. Oh man, I don't even know where to start. That's two good ones right there.
Belly.
Let's go new school. I'd say, one more old school.
Okay.
Hardball.
Okay.
Hardball. That's a good movie. I like that one. Recently, what have I watched recently that I would say you should review? I'd say we just saw Angel Has Fallen.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
Was it good?
I liked it.
It's gotten some mixed reviews.
It has gotten mixed reviews. So I would like to hear your guys' opinion.
There we go.
Because I liked it. So I want to see what you guys think.
All right. Okay. Miles, what brought you to Carolina?
I talk about passion and love and stuff, and it made me feel like home when I came here. They treated my parents great, they treated my family great, and they made me feel like I was welcomed here, and that was a big part. Like, if I'm gonna be away from home, I need to feel welcomed at least. Just not even just the team, not even just the school, like just people in general. We told them like we were here on a visit, and they treated us well. They talked to us like people actually talk to you, like, you know, walking down in your everyday neighborhood, people might not say hello. People might not, you know, they just go their own ways. But people will stop, talk to you, see how you're doing, ask if you need help. Like, they were really nice here, and that was a big part. And overall, just the combination at this school of academics, football, basketball, just everything I need. And then, like, the central area, there's a lot of stuff to do around here. I mean, you can go to Raleigh, you can go to Cary, you can Carrboro, you Durham, everywhere we're at, like, it's a lot of stuff around here to do, and I think it was the right fit for me.
What do you think people don't know about being a student athlete?
I don't think they understand. They know we work hard, but I don't think they understand how hard we work. I don't think people understand, like, the physical drain that we take on and then have to work twice as hard mentally, because especially during the season, because you're taking time to finish your schoolwork as well as studying the opponent. So that's double studying, yeah. First of all. Secondly, I mean, just the physical drain of waking up, staying in meetings, and then going out and banging, going at practice, going hard, getting ready for your opponent, and then every Saturday going full speed, banging somebody you don't know. I don't think people understand like how hard we actually work.
Are you a fan of the early morning practices or no? We've gotten mixed reviews.
No. I'm not. I am not a fan. I am avidly not a fan of the morning practice. I'm not a morning person. So waking up, especially how early we go, it's slow for me.
What time are you waking up now these days?
So I've been trying to do some treatment before meetings. So I've been waking up around 4:50, 5 o'clock.
Come on now.
Yeah.
See, I'm kind of getting the – like Coach Brown said it was a vote. Mm. But I'm starting to get the feeling that it was a vote like – the team voted, and then Coach Brown decided based on his vote.
Nah, I mean, it was a real vote. Yeah, it was a real vote. Most of the team voted on morning practice, but what's wrong with them? This was before they knew what morning practice was going to be like. So I can't wait to see the vote come around for the next.
That's
guy.
Right. The re-election's going to be the hard one to get.
The re-election. I can't wait to see that because my hand will still be down when he. I can't believe that.
All right, Miles. Before we let you go, just. Tell us what's important for you personally, for the team moving forward here the next couple of weeks. What are some things that you're really going to focus in on as you guys continue to try to improve?
Just getting better each week. You never have a perfect game, so just work on never going backwards, always going forward. I think that's the most important thing, especially for us coming out of a loss with Wake Forest. We have to work this week on being better than we were last week and even better than we were in the first two games. It's always room for improvement. It's always room to get better. And just taking that week to week, just making sure you're better than you were last week. And if you do that, I feel like at the end of the season, we'll be a really good team.
All right, I lied. I have one more question.
Okay.
So I think your last name is one of the hardest, just for me personally, it's like hard to say it right. Like you're getting a big pick or a big tackle, and I'm like, it's like sometimes I can't go. What's an easy way to get it exactly right every time?
I think you said it right.
That was pretty close?
Yeah, that was good. So I feel like when you just say it kind of smooth and fast, if you break it up, Well, first of all, everybody calls me Wolf.
Okay.
So that's how I break it up. If you call me Wolf and then put Oak on the back.
And easy
if
enough.
If you just say it smooth like that, Wolf Oak.
Ooh, that was so much better than I can do.
Yeah, he sounded way better than you.
Yeah, he sounded a lot cooler. Yeah.
I've had 21 years of practice.
That's right.
I think I should know how to do it. But a lot of my friends, a lot of people just call me Wolf if they don't know how to pronounce it. So
he's a wolf. He's a dog. Yeah. And he's right here on the pod. Miles, man, thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Adam, did you know that texting while driving can take your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds?
I feel like I've heard that.
At highway speeds, buckle up for this, Adam. That's like driving the length of an entire football field with your eyes closed.
I wouldn't do that.
Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina want you to stay safe behind the wheel. Don't text and drive. Don't do it. Just don't. Go to trustedchoice.com/goheels to find an independent insurance agent near you. We're going to get to the 5-second challenge after we remind you about the Pinehurst Resort and the reinvented number 4 course by Gil Hands, named the best new course you can play in 2019. You like how I've been committed to going the 20?
Yeah.
Instead of the 2000? I've really had to focus on it. 9 courses, 1 legendary destination. Pinehurst.com can help you plan your next golf getaway. All right, time for the 5-second challenge. Each week, Adam and I alternate on who is the question asker and who is the question answerer. Today, I am giving the question. Adam will be trying to give the answers. He will only have 5 seconds, which goes really quickly.
It's not long.
So, Adam, hold on, I got to double check my notes. I want to make sure I give this just right to you. So Carolina is playing Appalachian State this weekend.
Yes.
They are both in the state of North Carolina.
Correct.
Adam, there are 14 teams that play either FBS or FCS level football in the state of North Carolina. Adam, you have 5 seconds to name as many of those teams as you can, starting now.
State, Duke, Carolina, Wake Forest, Charlotte, Elon, App.
Stop. You came out of the gates hot. You got 7. You got the big 4. You got Elon, Charlotte, and App.
So yep.
You came out hot.
Yeah. Then I hit a speed bump.
Then you slowed down.
On my football field with my eyes closed.
At the FBS level, Adam, you named the big 4, Duke, Carolina State, Wake, and App, and Charlotte. So you got 6 of the 7.
A&T.
Not at the FBS level,
Adam. Oh, FBS. I heard you say something different.
At the FBS level, the team you're missing, those fine folks down east and the East Carolina Pirates. Pirates was the one you missed.
The fact that I didn't get them says a lot.
At the FCS level, only one you got was Elon. Hmm. So there's 6 more.
Okay.
Campbell.
That's right.
Davidson.
Yep.
Gardner-Webb.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina A&T.
Yeah.
North Carolina Central. Western Carolina. So think about that. All those teams play FCS or FBS level football. 14 teams. And then when you get into the basketball side of things, that's when you add UNC Greensboro, UNC Wilmington.
UNC Asheville.
UNC Asheville. So, I mean, there are just a lot of schools. Lenoir Rhyne is a good has a good program. So there's just a lot of schools at varying levels in this state. I feel like it's – I don't know this, Adam. I mean, obviously there's Texas and there's California. I'd have to think after those two that North Carolina is right up there.
I deem it the most.
Yeah. After those other two.
I think it goes back to what you said on – I think it was the last pod about the – that's part of the reason why it makes sense for Carolina to play Wake Forest in a non-conference game. There's so many schools around here that you can play. It doesn't make a lot of sense to load up the plane and go to Nebraska when you could stay right here.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Carolina's out of conference thought is you want to play a big national type of game. You want to play an FCS opponent. And then those other two games is where you have that decision to make on a regional type of group of 5 type of team. Do you play another Power 5 team that maybe isn't a huge national brand? So it's a challenge everybody faces, and we've talked about this previously on the pod. It's hard to build a football schedule. It just is. You have to build it so far out in advance. It's hard to do. So, Adam, how about a list? Do you have one?
I do.
What's on the top of Adam's list? Brought to you by Top of the Hill, where Tar Heels come to celebrate.
There is some talk of remaking the movie Princess Bride.
Mm.
This has really upset some people. Most notably, Cary Elwes.
Who, by the way, we always pronounce his name 100% correctly.
Yeah.
Miles Wolfuck, Cary Elwes.
Yeah, it's not Yules. Yeah. Everybody knows that.
Who would say that? What an idiot, Brianna.
So Cary Elwes was in The Princess Bride.
Yeah, he was.
And he was in Days of Thunder.
And Robin's son is racist.
2 similar movies. And so Cary tweeted this week when he was replying to a tweet about remaking The Princess Bride. He tweeted, "There's a shortage of perfect movies in this world. It would be a pity to damage this one."
Nice little call to the movie itself. Yeah.
Then he dropped his Twitter mic.
Well, that brings up this, Adam, which I really feel like might be ranked number 1 in the AP poll for underrated pod stories. Is the story of the Magna Carta being found in Cary Elwes's...
No, come on. Get it right. This is a fact you can only get on the pod. So you could win trivia.
It was signed in the backyard.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say that.
Yeah.
So, but you can't go on Google and find this. You have to listen to the pod. And if you remember, Kate Leslie went to Carrie Elwes's mom's house in England, as you often do, because Kate was on the Brown rowing team, duh. And so, as you often do, you go over to Carrie Elwes's mom's house.
Yeah.
And while there, she learned the incredible fact that the Magna Carta was signed in Carrie Elwes's backyard.
You know what? It's one of my favorite pieces of audio that we've ever had here on the pod. Let's go back in time for a second and hear what Adam had to say about this a few months ago. Gotta get back in time.
Many centuries from now, a gentleman will come along who will change the course of what they will then call cinema, but has not yet been invented. I would like to commemorate him. Hand me the quill pen and put the stone monument here. Here in Carrie Elwes's backyard, we have signed the Magna Carta and changed the course of human history.
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
I had forgotten about that.
Yeah. That, honestly, again, one of the better stories, underrated stories on the pod.
There hasn't been a time since then that I've had a conversation about the Magna Carta, which I do pretty regularly.
That and collective bargaining.
Yeah, that I haven't thought, that reminds me of Carrie Elwes, that Magna Carta.
Yep. By the way, Adam, you mentioned Days of Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little reference to this in our Miles Wolfolk conversation. It's about Roadhouse Challenge time. Adam.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the Tar Heels have a bye week in early October.
Mm-hmm.
After this App game, there's two games, Clemson and then Georgia Tech, I believe. Then the Tar Heels have a bye week before they go to Virginia Tech. Thinking that bye week is prime Roadhouse Challenge time.
That'd be a good time for it.
We'll send out a poll here coming soon.
Okay. We talked about Tar Heel bro hugs on the last pod.
Right, yeah.
Sean Patrizzi
just Tuesday.
He sent us a solid video of Tar Heel bro hugs after the Miami game.
Mm-hmm.
They were some forceful bro hugs.
Yeah.
I feel like this could be a thing. We need to see these videos.
Hashtag bro hug.
Yeah, of these. They're Tar Heel bro hug. That's different.
Hashtag Tar Heel bro hug.
Yeah, because these bro hugs were up in the air.
Yeah.
They were airborne. And I think also, I'm guessing, they were actual brothers.
Yeah.
Probably Sean and Joe.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So that was an impressive video. Looking forward to seeing more.
Yeah, if the Tar Heels get this win on Saturday.
Catch this dub.
Yeah, a little hashtag Tar Heel bro hug right to the pod.
Yeah.
At @Carolina_pod.
We haven't mentioned at all, Cole Holcomb's doing really well for the Redskins.
Yeah, he starts. He led the team in tackles in week one. He was in the top three or four on the team in tackles in week two. And I think that is – similar to Mac Hollins, it's just one of those stories where, yes, you have to credit Larry Fedora and his staff for realizing that this guy was pretty good as a walk-on, and yes, you have to credit and be excited that Carolina had this opportunity available, but so much credit goes to Cole Holcomb. I mean, here's a guy who did not have a scholarship to Carolina at the beginning, found his way onto the field, then became a starter, was the leading tackler in the ACC last year, his senior year, and now is starting at the NFL level, and so cool to see him have success and be doing great things.
Need to have him on the pod.
Yeah.
Got a tweet from Robert Graves. This is absolutely something I've thought about in my daily life. Robert says, I was sitting at a coffee shop this morning, and I overheard this lady say to a friend of hers in a real Southern accent, see you later, to someone. Without even realizing it, in my mind, I immediately added big grits to it.
Of course you did.
As I looked up from my coffee. Now, Robert says, what is wrong with me? I would say,
no.
Nothing.
What's right with you?
Yeah.
Everything.
I do that all the time. I can't hear see you later anymore without immediately thinking big grits.
No, yeah.
And even to the point, like, if I'm saying see you later to my kids, I'll be like, see you later, big grits. Because it just all goes together. It just does. That's just how it was made, intended to be used.
That's right.
The UNC field hockey documentary is online. I know you were there when it was unveiled.
I was indeed.
But now it's out there for the world to see on YouTube. So if you've heard us talking about that previously, want to go look it up, it's out there. Jones talked about his secret email he received about the schedule with the Times.
Oh, yeah.
If you go
where
to
only the highest ranking officials in the ACC
right.
receive this.
All the head coaches and Jones.
Yeah.
If you go to GoHeels.com, men's basketball schedule, you'll discover that a lot of times have been added. So if you're one of those people like me who's freaked out by all those TBAs, go to GoHeels.com, men's basketball schedule. There's still some TBAs, but there's also some times on there, and that'll be very helpful to you. I didn't realize what a cult figure Dante Calabria is. Mm. We got a lot of good feedback on his interview because he's awesome, obviously. Dusty Tompkins sent us just an incredible picture of himself with Dante. Dante is wearing a bandana.
Yep.
And this appeared to be circa 95, somewhere in there.
Mid-90s, Adam. Everything goes.
It was a time in world history when you could put on a bandana and just go out in Chapel Hill.
Yep.
I'm going to put on my bandana, and I'm going to go take pictures with the youngsters.
Right.
But Dante made it look good, not like a pirate.
It was the hair. It was the flow.
Yeah. John Parker sent us an email about how much he loves Dante, as really everyone does. He says Dante was his favorite Tar Heel from childhood. He wore 24 in every sport he played because of Dante. My aunt always encouraged my fandom of him. And in hindsight, this is probably because John's aunt had a small crush on old Dante.
Get in line, John's aunt.
Regardless, John says, thanks for a little vacation from life.
Yeah.
And then, last thing, wanted to give a what up to George Sloan. This was an interesting email. George Sloan sent the email to CarolinaInsiderPod@gmail.com. He says, what up, dudes?
What up?
He's talking to us.
What up? We're just gay. Just a couple dudes being bros.
Yeah. George is a longtime listener and huge fan of the pod. I've lived on a sailboat for the last several years, currently in the Southwest Bahamas.
Phew.
Watch out.
First of all, hope that you came through everything all right down there, George. I know it's more the northern portion of the Bahamas that got hit so hard with Hurricane Dorian. Obviously, he sent us an email, so it's doing okay.
Certainly has internet service.
Yeah.
And George is often not able to stream games due to data constraints or lack of service, so the pod is his UNC Sports lifeline. George says he's gotten misty-eyed during many an interview or segment, just feeling like a part of something that he is so physically removed from. Listening to you two jokers, that's us, wax poetic, reminds me of home and my
hashtag
own friends
Tar Heel bro hug.
And family discussing all things Carolina, and it's always a warm and fuzzy feeling. So that was awesome. George says he's originally from Ocean Isle Beach, NC, and his dad went to Carolina, so he grew up deeply rooted in the Carolina family, and he's had many story time worthy interactions, which he will be sharing with us in the future, so look forward to that. So he also... He was an attendee of the first Big Grits Father's Day basketball camp.
Wow.
In 1995.
Low many years ago.
Dante was there wearing his bandana, I think.
Yep.
So, what up, George Sloan?
Yeah, a little real talk here, Adam.
Okay.
It's one of the fun parts about the pod, right? We all love the Tar Heels.
Yeah.
Whether you're living on a sailboat in the Bahamas or right here in Chapel Hill or wherever you may be. What we love about this.
It makes it more fun.
It's a verbal Tar Heel bro hug.
Yeah. It makes it more fun to realize there's other people out there who experience it the same way you do.
Quickly, Adam, I have a question for you.
5 seconds.
Do you know Tar Heel fans that work selflessly to improve the lives of others in their communities?
I believe so.
Well, good news. LS Tractor wants to know about them. LS Tractor and the Tar Heels have partnered up to recognize hometown heroes from throughout the state of North Carolina. You can visit GoHeels.com/hero. That's GoHeels.com/hero to nominate someone you know for a chance to be recognized on the court at a basketball game this season. LS Tractor, proud partner of Carolina Athletics. I really think this is a cool initiative from LS Tractor. So, again, that website, we all know somebody who is as selfless as you yourself wish you could be, right? Right, Adam?
Yeah.
Like you know me.
Right.
So goheels.com/hero. That's like a little what up nomination right there.
Yeah.
Give them a little what up. Right there at goheels.com/hero. Adam, is your list complete?
Yes.
Anything else you would like to discuss before we get out of here and get into a very busy week next week for the Tar Heels? Next week you have late night on Friday. Earlier on Friday is that the fast break against cancer breakfast that we talked about. Carolina hosting Clemson in football on Saturday, so clearly a big game there. And we have a bunch of great guests that we're going to be locking up next week, coming your way soon. And so busy week coming up.
Official walkthrough of the new media center.
That's right. The dedication of the new media and communication center, which includes Pod World headquarters, which is, Adam, it's almost done. We've got to figure out what we're going to do when we're in there at a grand opening. Got to figure that out. We need to put our heads together.
There should be some sort of fireworks. Could Ramesses be there? I feel like that's something that we need.
He may start chewing on like some of the equipment or something, though. We don't want that.
I'd settle for costume Ramesses.
Oh.
But I'd like to have real Ramesses. But I feel like that runs the risk of possibly messing up the shininess. But if we have costume Ramesses, I think like he just needs to sit in there with us while we're doing the pot. Or maybe he could hold the big scissors with his big mascot hands. I don't want Ramesses Jr. I got to be honest. I don't love Ramesses Jr.
You know who does? The kids.
That's the thing. He's out of my demographic. I like old crotchety Ramesses.
I wonder, and somebody knows this, like why did Carolina elect to have Ramesses Jr.?
Well, I've asked myself that as I sit at Tar Heel basketball games.
Right.
And I think that I've come up with the answer by A, my observational powers,
yeah,
and B, my wife told me.
Oh, well, okay.
It enables twice as many people to take pictures of the Ramesses.
Mm. Just math. The answer was just math.
Yeah, because everybody wants a picture with Ramesses. If it's your first game or something, or like you want to put it on your social media, you got to get a picture. But Ramesses is only one Ram.
Yeah.
He can only be in one place. But when you have Ramesses Jr., they can be on opposite ends. Twice as many people go home happy. It's like in the Magic Kingdom, there's only one Mickey Mouse. Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. So out at one time.
Yeah, there can only be one Mickey out at a time. You can only have one Ramesses.
We should get on the Go Heels app like they do on the Disney app where it shows you where Ramesses and Ramesses. First of all, you say Ramesses.
Yeah.
And I say Ramesses.
Now you're saying it wrong.
I might be. I think both are acceptable.
Well, but you know what definitely is wrong?
Oh.
The people who spell it Ramesses.
Yeah, there's an extra E in there.
That's why I say Ramesses, because I say the E.
Right.
But it really bugs me when people don't put the E in there. Mm. I don't like that. It's like making Tar Heel one word. I don't like that either. Mm. You're getting me all amped up. It's like when you say apart and you don't say a part. It's two separate things unless you want to be separate from it, which a lot of times when you say, oh, so blessed to be a part of this team, you're saying it, you're so blessed to be on the other side of the room from this team.
That little callback there, Adam.
Yeah, it's not what you mean.
You know it really bothers Adam when he rants about it twice on the pod.
Yeah, or you know that I'm old and can't remember that I ranted about it before, but I do remember that I ranted about that before. Ramesses, Tar Heel, apart. Three things everyone should get right.
Magna Carta. We'll make it four.
This has been an educational pod today.
All right, we're going to get out of here. A reminder, 2:30 for our pregame show, network-wise, or network-wide on the Tar Heel Sports Network.
Is the open going to work this time?
I'm going to knock on wood here in lovely Pod World headquarters that our open actually works and it's not the dead air and then me going, oh, hello.
We've had a complete crash on the computer.
We've had a complete crash on the computer. You're going to need to start talking. Plus, Bill Leslie's going to be in the booth, as I mentioned. Oh, yeah. So
he wouldn't allow that to happen.
We can't mess it up while he's there. Yeah. Classing up the place.
Yeah.
So classy.
Hi, guys. It's Jones. I figured since we've mentioned the radio open so many times at this point on the show, it would finally be time to just put it in here so you could hear it just in case you haven't. So we'll do that, come back, finish things up here on the Carolina Insider.
We get only 12 of these each year. 12 days out of 365, with the band playing, Rameses pawing, the students cheering. Only 12 days out of 365, with the Tar Heels bursting out of the tunnel. On these days, we've watched Famous Amos.
Taking it home.
We've seen Kelvin Bryant.
He gave the ball to Steve Stringer in the end zone.
We've roared as Gio took it for a touchdown.
No, he's not. Yes, he is.
LT sat the quarterback.
Jordan back to pass, and LT has got him.
Dre picked off another one.
Intercepted in the end zone by Dre Bly.
We will never get to do this particular Carolina football game day again. Maybe this will be the day the unforgettable happens.
We'll give the ball to McClendon. He leaps. Oh! He doesn't get in.
Maybe this will be the day a Tar Heel win isn't certain until the last second.
Howard leaps. He has it. Touchdown. Carolina back from the dead.
Maybe. This is the day someone, somewhere, falls in love with Carolina football for life.
Touchdown! Carolina, the Tar Heels win it! The Tar Heels win it!
Let's find out together. Today is a Carolina football game day. Live on the Tar Heels Sports Network.
So again, 2:30, network-wide, we're on the air. Coach Brown wants you in there at 3 o'clock. And again, that's not just lip service. That's not just saying it to trick you into getting there early. It's impactful. Game starts at 3:30. Got the bell tower walk before the game. Hopefully we're lighting the bell tower after the game. Carolina App State football weekend in Chapel Hill. Let's go. And let's go to our friend Miles Wolfolk, as he and the RZA will get us out of here on the latest edition of the Carolina Insider.
I'm Miles Wolfolk. See you later, Big Grits.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for
pound box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing at all.
The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network.